Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. How many of you get these newsletters? Nobody. Well, we just stopped printing them. I got four. You have a newsletter, wave them at me. Why didn't you raise your hand? Listen, if you'll see this little spot over here, it's right here. It's in there about every week, letting you know what this ministry needs. As a matter of fact, in there now it says gallon canned vegetables. So what I'd like for you to do this week is go buy at least one gallon can of vegetables and bring it to church next week, and let's see if we can't fill this box over here up and let it overflow and just bless these people as they do this ministry. Would you do that? Five of you, would you do that? All right, I need some responses here. That's true. All right, now, that is great. They do a wonderful job, and I'm so honored to be their pastor. I really am. He talks about me helping him, but he has helped me along with all the other elders. They have helped me navigate in this position that I'm in. I wouldn't do it without them. I really wouldn't. And they just do an absolute great job. And I want to say something too. Where are my dancers? Where'd they go? They upstairs changing. That's what they're doing. Well, I'll pause on that just a second. Isn't God good to have people that would serve people that they don't even know and do it without any selfishness of gain, of wanting to gain something? They just want to help people. And it's refreshing to see that. It really is. I want you to, we're going to continue to talk about waiting on the Lord. We're going to go into Isaiah chapter 40. There's no need for you to, well, you can if you want to. I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation. That's really not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but we're going to be reading out of that. But before we get into it, I want to let you know that last week we talked about, you know, they that wait on the Lord, and we sing that song. Thank you, Pastor Charlie, for doing that. That this thing is, I'm waiting. Matter of fact, I'm not waiting on the Lord, I'm waiting on Russell. That's totally different. Where is Russell? Did you forget about?
Yep.
Okay. And one thing about Russell, he's honest. But that's okay. That's okay. This thing about waiting on God, waiting on the Lord and your strength being renewed, we talked last week and discovered with the what God wants us to know is that this is it. This is you binding yourself to God's hope, to the hope of the Lord. In other words, we said tie last week, but it's a stronger word. It's to bind. In other words, you're binding yourself as you wait, as you are binding yourself to the hope and expectancy in Jesus. Does that make sense? In other words, it's not just, well, I'm just killing time. You're not killing time. You know, you're not wasting time. You're binding yourself. You're tying yourself very securely to the hope and the promises that God has spoken to you. And God has told you that He is everything that He said He would be, and He's going to be. He's always going to be there for you. But there's one that you can turn here. There's one. Oh, here it is. You may as well be my example. Come on up here.
That's what I get.
No.
I get the rope next time, I promise.
Okay, I'm going to let you be. I'm going to let you be the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
No pressure here.
No pressure at all. Bind yourself. Bind yourself. Bind yourself. Tie yourself. You know, so this is the expectancy of the Lord, you know, that we're binding it to. And so I'm going to tie myself to Him. I'm going to tie myself to the Lord. I'm going to tie myself to what He said. And wherever He goes, you know, I'm going to go too. Now, I want you to see in the example that who's bound. I am. See, he's not bound. And I can actually say, well, you know, I don't like the way this is going. Y'all get it? So the whole thing, is about my expectancy and following the Lord. Thank you, Russell. Thank you so much. My expectancy in following him and walking with him, I'm tied to the hope that he brings me, that he is going to lead me wherever I'm supposed to go, and it's going to be just fine, right? And it's going to be great, right? You know, but if we have a false view, a concept, or perception of who Jesus is or who God is, I was raised to fear God in a way that he's going to get me. In other words, he's mad at me. Maybe have you ever come in touch with that? He's mad at me, and if I just make one little wrong step, it's like he is just so frustrated with me. And if I don't come down and repent now and I die, I'm going to hell. I mean, I've been taught that the biggest part of my young Christian life. It's not the truth. You know, he's an all-loving God. He really is. He loves us so much. And we have to know who he really is. And there's a line in that song that Dan sang that was, yeah. Hold a second. I'm singing. You are my reality. And you define me. You define me. If you're defined by other people, or if you're even, if you're even defined by a denomination, you got the wrong definition. Because denominations in themselves are not perfect. He is. You got me? So he has to. We have to hear him define us. Him. The dancer's back yet?
Yeah, we're right here.
Okay, we're right there. We're right here. I want y'all to stand up. There's one. There's two. There's three. Where's the other one? Where's the other one? Where's Casey? Casey's back there. Listen, let me tell you girls something. I really do appreciate what you do. I really do. There is so much opposition against what you do, but you girls press on and just worship God anyway. You know, there's so much opposition in other churches and belief systems about religion that it's wrong to dance. I've been told, you know, said, you know, God didn't put a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same leg. I've been told that by a preacher, you know. And I said, well, I'll talk to David when I get up there. I'll talk to him about that. And I said, I would let you ask him, but I'm not sure you're going. I did that in humor. I did do that, though, but I did it in humor. But see, here's the thing about it. David danced. He leaped. Bible said he leaped and danced because of the presence of God. Now, we can make a decision that this is wrong, even though it's biblical. Well, you made the wrong decision. Does that make sense? So we need to understand that, you know, the Bible says for us to yield our instruments, yield our instruments, our bodies as instruments to the Lord. Yield our bodies as instruments to the Lord. They're not up here so you can see them. Neither is me. neither are the praise team. They're not up here so you can see them. They're not in performance mode. They're in worship. and so are the dancers. They're in worship. They express their worship in the art of dance. You know, so the Bible says, you know, that the Bible says a few times in Psalms, he said, praise the Lord with the dance. So it's a way that you and I get to praise the Lord is through our movement in our dance. Is that true? By the way, when the prodigal came home, you know what happened? And he's coming home to the Father. And you know what was going on? Dancing, singing, and music. Why? It was celebratory. It's like, let's worship God because my son is home. And part of their worship was dancing. So let's adapt, you know, and make sure that we support the dancers. I mean, I don't know anybody here that's going against them, but I'm just saying, but I know they get resistance. I mean, we've had people to leave this house because we have dancers. You know, so the thing is, I don't want anybody to leave because we have dancers. I don't want anybody to leave because we have a lot of instruments, but that's who we are. It's all biblical. It's all based in the Bible. Why can't you get in the flesh dancing? And the answer to that question is yes. But you can also be in the flesh sitting in your seat right now, disagreeing with what the Word says. That, you know, so let's just don't sit. Let's all stand. Oh, wait a second. If we can stand and be in the flesh, see, it's a choice of what you're going to be in the flesh about, but it's biblical to dance. Amen. So I am very pleased. Y'all have fought the good fight. You really have. And you worship. Your worship in dance is beautiful. And I want to say thank you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Did y'all find Hebrews chapter 6? Did I tell you Hebrews chapter 6? If y'all had been listening to God, you'd have known that. No, I'm teasing. I'm messing with you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, talks about this. This is where hope is an anchor of your soul. It's an anchor of your mind, will, and emotion. It anchors you. And it says that he desires, he has this word desire. God has a strong desire to do something. And here in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, when God, and I'm going to read out of the message here. When God had a strong desire, he wanted to guarantee his promises. He had a desire for you to see his seal of guarantee on his promises. He had a desire for you to see his guarantee on his promises. He wants you to see that. He gave his word a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. He cannot lie because his word cannot change and his promise is likewise unchangeable. The promises that he gave you, not only can he not lie, but the promises that he gave you are unchangeable. Everybody say unchangeable. As far as him, now you cannot fulfill, you cannot live in the promise, but that's your choice. But as far as he's not changed his promise, it's there for you. And he goes on and he says this, he says, we who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. That is beautiful. We who have run for our very lives from this thing that was going to devour us, the darkness, we've run for our very lives to grab hold of who he is and the promises that he's given and never let go. It is an unbreakable spiritual line. Reaching past all appearances. What appearances? That it ain't going to happen. Reaching past all appearances right into the very presence of God. Boy, because we face these things and all this, and when we go and read this other passage that we're going to read to you, you're going to see this whole thing come to life in a way that this last two verses that he talks about, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up
like wings of an eagle. They'll be able to run and not grow weary, and they'll be able to walk and not faint. Well, that's a great verse, but you know there's other verses before that that sets the entire stage for that to be said. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. To be able to see, how is this thing? Because I've tried this before, Lord, and it just hasn't worked for me. Well, it hasn't worked for me because we don't really fully understand and have the full revelation of what he said we need to do. See, he's constantly at work, and these circumstances and these appearances that are before us, you know, this bill's due and I'm not going to be able to pay it, and this sickness has come in and my children have gone wayward, and it just goes on and on. I don't have a job, anything that you want to talk, all these appearances. This Bible tells us that we have the ability to be able to reach through all appearances and grab hold of the promises. Grab a hold of them and be able to enter in the very presence of God. So the presence of God, I whole lot rather have the presence of God than just to have a meeting. And I'm talking about a church meeting. I'd whole lot rather have the presence of God. You know, a meeting with him is much better than a meeting with just us. That's the reason he said, when you come together how? In my name. What does that mean? I'm carrying his agenda when we meet. I'm carrying his agenda. I'm carrying what he wants me to do. What he wants me to do, not my own agenda. So when we come together, we should be carrying the very heartbeat of who God is and what God wants to do today, and how he wants to speak to us, and how he wants to show us. Even in worship, how things transpire, you know, and deliverances are done, healings are done, you know. So God heals in a lot of different ways. Yes? I ran into a guy that said, you know, I know you believe, he said, I know you believe healing is for today. And I said, yes, sir. He said, that dispensation has gone. I said, have you ever been sick? Yes. Are you still sick? No. Well, you better thank God that that dispensation isn't gone. Because if healing had left, you'd still be sick. Oh, he's good. He's good. We can start at Isaiah chapter 40. Hopefully we'll get through this. But I want you to capture this thing. Before we do that, verse 42 of Psalm says this. How many of you have ever talked to yourself? Raise your hand real high at me. Say, I've talked to myself before. Did that get everybody? You've talked to yourself. I knew this was the right crowd. David did too. Listen to this. Why are you in despair, oh my soul? Why are you so bothered talking to yourself? Why am I in despair? Why has despair impacted me? Why am I in despair? Why are you in despair, oh my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Boy, isn't that good? Why have you become disturbed inside? Why are you disturbed? And he answered, well, he says, hope in God. For I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. So he begins to talk to himself, and he asks himself questions, and then he tells himself, okay, I see that you're disturbed, and I see that you're upset talking to himself. And then he tells himself, stop it. Hope in God, because I am still going to praise him for his presence. So whenever you get to talking to yourself, always know that you got to find this place of hope. Find this place of talk. People say, well, you know, you're not supposed to do self-talk. Well, nobody in the car with you? Have you ever said, oh, I missed that road? Well, who are you talking to? I missed that road. You don't have to tell God. He already knows you missed a road, so it's okay. Yeah, there ain't nobody in there with you. Well, not, that's my example. You can use yours later. Oh, man, isn't it great? Isn't it great? Let's look at this. This is out of the mess. This is Isaiah 40. Watch this. Understand this. Israel, this whole thing about hope in God and wait on the Lord, Israel is in captivity. They've been captured by the Assyrians. They are in captivity. Which, what does that mean, being in captivity? Well, you don't have freedom to go and do whatever you want to do. You have to do what they say. You always have to do what they say. You have to eat what they say to eat. You have to do what they say to do. You have to go where they say go. Why? You're captive. You're captivated. They're in captivity. Everybody say, they're in captivity. Things are not going very well for them. God begins to speak to the prophet, and he begins to say, comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. The people in captivity, what should we be telling people? What should our words be if people are in bondage? Words of comfort. Not, watch this, not words of judgment. Oh, I told you if you wouldn't have done that. They don't need to hear that. What they need to hear is a word of comfort. Well, what is the comfort? He says it twice. Comfort, oh, comfort my people. They're in captivity. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem. But also make it very clear. In other words, make it very clear that she has served her sentence and that her sin is taken care of, forgiven. She's been punished enough and more than enough. Well, I love that, don't you? So listen. When you talk to people that are in captivity, you and I are to comfort people that are in bondages and that are in these things that are going on. You know, that they don't have freedom. We should speak tenderly, and we should be able to talk softly to them and with a word that says, hey, look, you know, you've paid enough. You've been sick long enough. You've been in bondage of this long enough. It's not a critical thing. It's like, you know, God's about to do something in your life. And he goes on, he says, and now it's over and done with. He said, now you've already paid for it, and now it's over and done with. You know, Jesus did that for us. See, we're talking out of the Old Testament concepts right here, but see, Jesus has done it. He is our comfort by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? He said, and done and over. Then he says, thunder in the desert. Thunder where? In the desert, in the driest place you could ever be. Thunder, in other words, what does that mean? It means you get ready to make a noise. You get ready to be heard. You get ready to take a position or take a place and thunder in the very spot that it's dry and it looks like there's no way out. So he's telling to the people, they're in bondage again. They're in captivity. He said, thunder. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Right in the middle of wherever you're going through, you need to prepare yourself for God's arrival. What does that mean? To us, it means to prepare yourself for God to manifest his presence in the very thing that you're going through. I mean, when you're seeing things and all these appearances are going on that it doesn't look like this is going, just go ahead and thunder it out. God's coming. God's about to show up. Not that he's not here. He's always here. But God's about to manifest himself in a way that everybody's going to know it's him who did it and not we ourselves. God's about to show up. God's coming. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road straight and smooth and the highway fit for our God. Make, in other words, get ready. Get ready to have some smooth roads instead of rough roads. That's what he said. Get ready. Get ready for me. Get ready for me to do something in your life right now that you don't think's happening right. Get ready because I'm about to do something. So get ready for me. So there's a preparation that we should do. We should prepare for God's deliverance. Amen. So he goes on, he says, prepare for God and make the road straight and smooth and a highway fit for our God. Fill up the valleys, fill in the valleys, level off the hills and smooth out the ruts. How many of you have ever been in a rut? Now, wave at me, tell the truth, God's listening. Everybody know what the definition of a rut is? A grave with the ends knocked out of it. You know, you're not going anywhere. You're just in a rut. How many of you've been in a rut before? He said, God's coming. God's coming. God's going to get me out of this rut. Why? Because I'm attaching my hope to him. Yes. Clear out all the rocks. Then God's bright glory will shine and everyone will see it. See, the whole thing is about seeing his glory, seeing his character inside you, seeing his character manifest. Prepare for his arrival, but prepare for him to show you his way out. And he says, the bright glory will shine. God's bright glory will shine and everyone will see it. Don't you want people to see God's glory in and through you? So do I. So get prepared. Yes, just as God said it. Then it says, a voice says, shout. All right, let me hear a shout. That's good. He says, shout. And I said, see, God said, shout. What shall I shout? Watch this. What shall I shout? These people are nothing but grass. Their love is fragile as wildflowers. The grass withers, the wildflowers fade. If God so much as puffs on them, aren't these people just so much grass? True, the grass withers and the wildflowers fade, but our God's word stands firm forever. God's still standing, God's still, word still strong, and it's still there. So what is he saying? Shout. He said, shout that we are a fragile people. But what? God's word still stands. God's word still stands. He said, you know, in your weakness, not in your strength, in your weakness, his strength's going to be seen. You can't, but he can. In your weakness, his strength's going to be seen. It goes on. It says, where do I need to go? Do what? Climb a high mountain. Rather, climb a high mountain, Zion. Watch this. Go ahead. Climb a high mountain. You're the preacher of good news. What is he saying? He said, listen, you need to get ready to go up and tell somebody about the good news that you have. You know, we're the worst people to have great news and sit on it. Bad news, tell everybody. Tell as many people as you can. Great news, not sit on it. Nah, we don't want them to think too. We don't think we're too spiritual. Now tell them the good news. Tell them the good news. He says, you're the preachers. Climb the mountain. Tell them the good news. Raise your voice. Make it good and loud. Now what he said, be bold in telling the good news that you have. And as he's getting us ready, he said, you're the preacher of good news, and speak loud and clear. Don't be timid. Don't be timid. Don't be shy. Well, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. Yes, you are. He's sending you. He said, tell the cities. Tell the cities. And he tells the cities of Judah. And here's what you tell them. Look, your God. Look, he's manifesting himself. Look, your God. They need to know their God, they really do. Look at him. God, the Master, comes in power, ready to go into action. Look, your God is right here, ready to go into action for you. Again. Everybody say again. And then again, and then again. He is going to pay back his enemies and reward those who have loved him. Reward those who loved him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms. That's beautiful. Hugging them as he carries them. Oh, isn't that beautiful? See, he's saying, I know you're in captivity, but I want you to see something. I know you're going through a hard time, but I want you to see something from my perspective. I want you to see me holding you. I want you to see me hugging you and bringing you to the place of pasture, leading the nursing ewes to great pleasure, a pasture, good pasture. Who has? Then he says this. Then he asks more questions. How many of you know? Has that God ever asked you questions? Yeah, he has me. And I know he has you. Watch this. Here's the question. Who has scooped up the ocean in his two hands? Watch this. The whole ocean, he's doing this. It's all right here. So he's beginning to prepare for you to be able to see him in a different light than you've ever seen him. He's going to increase the knowledge of what you have and the revelation of who he is. So he begins asking questions. He says, who? Let's see, go back. Oh, no, we're here. Who has scooped up the ocean in his two hands? Who has measured the sky between his thumb and his little finger? The whole sky. Everybody say all the sky. Between his thumb and his little finger. Whew. That's big. Holding all the oceans and the palms of his. That's big. He wants us to see how big he really is. Because as we see how big he really is, we really, really actually see how what's bothering us is so small. He goes on and he says this. He measured with the, who has put all the earth's dirt in one of his baskets? He got all the earth's dirt in one of his baskets. And he says this. He's weighed each mountain and hill. In his basket, he's weighing all the mountains that you see just in the United States. He's in that little basket. He's just weighing them. He said, I know what that weighs, and I know what that weighs. And it's just in his little basket. The whole earth, all the dirt's in his little basket. Everybody say, he's big. He's big. In his little basket. Weighed each hill, weighed each mountain and hill. Who could ever have told God what to do? That's a good question. Who could tell him what to do? No, nobody's going to tell him what to do. Who's taught him his business? Who is it that's taught God? Who taught God? That's a good question. What expert would he have gone to for advice? What school would he have attended to learn justice? What God do you suppose might have taught him what he knows and showed him how things work? Can you name one? Can you name a God that taught him this? No. He's God of all gods. But let me ask you this. Have you ever told God what he needed to do? God, I'm not going to do it until. He says, okay. And then finally you go do it, because until he can wait a long time. Because we sang, he does not get weary. He does not get tired. What God do you suppose have taught him what he knows, showed him how things work? Why, the nations are but a drop in the bucket. All the nations. You know that bucket he's holding dirt? One drop, that's the nations. One drop, they're just a drop in the bucket. He's not demeaning the nations because it's his inheritance. But he's saying it's a drop in the bucket to the awesomeness of who he is. He goes on and says this, a mere smudge on a window. You ever had a, who wears glasses? You know, have you ever had a smudge on your glasses and you just like, boy, you just got to get it off? Why? Because it's just a smudge. Just a smudge. Watch him sweep up the islands like so much dust off the floor. I mean, it's just like, whoosh. There aren't enough trees in Lebanon nor enough animals in those vast forests to furnish adequate fuel and offerings for his worship. There ain't enough animals and ain't enough trees to burn and sacrifice that will suffice anything about worshiping him. Well, maybe we need to get a bigger tree. Go get it. Maybe we need, maybe, no, it's out of the heart of worship. It's out of heart of who he wants us to recognize him as. Adequate. All the nations added up are simply nothing before him. Less than nothing is more like it. Let's go on. A minus. He's talking about this. He said they're a minus to him as far as the vastness of who he is. Nations rise up and they're gonna, you know, America rising up and saying, you know, we're gonna show you how we can live without him. Guess again. He'll let us. But we'll be crying out to him. We already are. Took him out of this, took him out of that. Don't want him here, don't want him there, don't want nothing said, don't want the Bible, don't want the manger scene, don't want this, don't want nothing to do with Christianity. We can do it without him. Well, you're just a drop in a bucket. And that includes the United States. I love this country. I love this country, but I love my God more. Watch this. He says, so who even comes close to being like God? Can anybody answer that? Nobody. Who do you have that can compare to him? Nobody. To whom or what can you compare him? Some, I love this, some no God idol. Is that who? Some no God idol? Is he the one? That's ridiculous. It's made in a workshop, cast in bronze, given a thin veneer of gold, and draped into silver filigree. Or perhaps someone will select a fine wood, olive wood, say, that won't rot. Then hire a wood carver to make a no God, giving special care to its base so it won't tip over. It's like, how many of you ever heard Weebles? Anybody ever heard Weebles? The older generation will. Weebles will wobble, but they don't fall down. In other words, this crafter of all this God, no God making, he said he's crafting in such a way that it doesn't fall over. No. Give him special attention so it doesn't tip. And then he says, have you not been paying attention? I just love this passage. Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Haven't you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand the foundation of all things? God sits high above the round ball of earth. He sits high above it. The people look like mere ants. He stretches out the skies like a canvas. Yes, like a tent canvas to live under. He ignores what all the prince say and do. Yeah, but I'm the president. It doesn't matter if you are. He can ignore it. If you ain't agreeing with him, if you're a king of something, it don't matter. He said, the rulers of the earth count for nothing. Prince and rulers don't amount to much. Like seeds barely rooted, just sprouted, they shrivel when God blows on them. Like flecks of chaff, they're gone with the wind. That's where they got that movie's name. They're gone with the wind. So, watch this. So, who is like him? Who holds a candle to me? Well, he's talking. Who holds a candle to me? Says the Holy. Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all this? Who marches this army of stars out each night? Counts them off, calls each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one. Never overlooks a single one. Why would you ever complain? Uh-oh. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob? Or whine, Israel? saying, God has lost track of me. Have you ever felt that way? See, this passage says, don't ever complain, don't ever whine. He's so big, he knows everything about you inside and out. He doesn't care what happens to me. How many of you have ever said that about God? I mean, be real with me. I mean, God really doesn't care, or he'd fix this. He goes on and says, don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? Do you not know? Have you not heard? God doesn't come and go. He lasts. He's better than an Energizer bunny. That was a joke. He lasts. His creator, he's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to the dropouts. Have you ever dropped out before? Be honest with me. Have you ever just decided I'm out? God, guess what he says? I'm going to give you some fresh strength. He don't come and condemn you. He said, I'm going to give you some fresh strength. I'm going to get your attention. And I'm going to get your attention to me, not to what you're going through. He said, even strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime. See, it's not about your personal strength. It's not about how young you really are. It's not about really about your age. In their prime, they'll stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord get fresh strength. They spread their wings. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. And they walk and don't lag behind. That's the last verse of that passage. But he sets the entire stage of mine and your thinking of how we should know who he is, know who we are, and know his character, and know that no matter what we're going through, we have the ability to reach right past the appearances of everything and lay claim to his presence. I like that part where it says, why are you complaining? Why are you whining? I just painted a picture that there's nobody greater. Nobody. Isn't he wonderful? So it means so much when you read this, when you read this last verse, tell somebody, if somebody ever quotes that to you, just tell them, go back and read the other verses. Go read the first 30 verses. You'll see more about God of why this is so possible. Attaching. So you're attaching to your hope. You're tying yourself to somebody that nobody's bigger. He don't answer to anybody. There's nobody giving him advice. There's nobody. He's not worried. He's not fretting. He's not tired. He's not even pausing to catch his breath. That's who we're attaching our hope to. That's who we're attaching this expectancy to, of Almighty God. There's nobody like him. There's nobody. Is anybody here today that is, you just feel weary? You feel tired? Anybody? Nobody? Oh, tired and weary? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Listen. Don't despair. Look at him. He's got this. He knows all about it. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the answer. He is the answer to everything that's going on in your life. Everything. What he's wanting you to do today, in the process of you hearing this message, he's wanting you to understand, come to him. Come to him. He's got it. Worship him. Reach past the very things that's pressing against you. Reach past the various things and just grab hold of who he is. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's going to be hard for you to do because you don't know him. Is any one of you you need to be born again? Anybody? Is anybody else? You need to be born again. Come up here, dear. Come up here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What's your name, sweetie?
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Who do you have with you?
Gianna.
Gianna. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's beautiful.
Thank you.
She's beautiful. This is Elder Doug. He's going to lead you in some passages, okay? See, the whole thing about weariness and wanting to give up, see, when you have no hope, that's where you always go. But see, he said, you have hope. You have hope. You're tying yourself. You're tying, you're binding yourself to the very hope that we just talked about of who he is, how big he is, what he's able to do. He tells you when he talks about the prince and the kings and all, he's telling you, he said, listen, man is not bigger than me. They're just a drop in the bucket. Man is not bigger than me. He's so much bigger. Man's not in control of you. He wants to take control of your whole. He wants to be in charge of your entire life. Read more of his word. Read this passage. If you don't have a message Bible, you can go online and you can see that whole passage in the message. Just go read it. It's so alive with who he really is. It's probably one of my best passages that I like the most about describing God, of who he is. Those of you that are around these people, I want you to stand up and I want you to just lay hands on them to have strength to pursue God and reach past these appearances so they could grab hold of the very tangible presence. I want somebody to make sure somebody's at every person. See, God loves you so much. You know, he said, I'm walking with you, and I'm hugging you, I'm holding you, and I'm hugging you, and I'm taking you to pastures, good pastures that you can eat from. See, you heard a word today that ministered to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that touched you deeply to be able to make a difference in your life. Nobody else can do that like God can do it. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these people. We thank you for this one that's come to accept you as Lord and Savior. God, you're setting the course for her and the baby. Right off the bat, you're saying, come to me. You're making a difference in this woman now. You're making a difference in these that have stood up. Lord, you're awakening them to the awesome being that you are. Who you are is so magnificent, so beautiful. You care and you love so much. And you're here to free people. You're here to deliver people. You're here to save people. You're here to set the road straight and to fix them with the very passion and the purpose that you've given. Lord, your purpose has never stopped. Your purpose for these individuals has not ended. It has not stopped. Father, in Jesus' name, help them now to be able to tie themselves to you in the hope of who you are. Lord, that they would be able to walk and not get weary, or to run and not get weary, to walk and not faint, that they would be able to mount up and soar and see things in you and about themselves that they've never seen before. That they would be built up and strengthened by your word today and by your spirit. Seal this work that you're doing, Holy Spirit. Seal it today, God, that they would that this would be a day that they would mark in their life, that their journey changed and became more focused on who you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Come up here, dear. What's your name again?
Chelsea.
Chelsea. What happened today?
I've just been really struggling lately, especially with the newborn. It's kind of hard, and I've been trying to get to where I need to be, and it's just been really tough. And coming here today really helped me see where I need to go. And
did you find the way?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Oh, great. Vicky, you can't have her.
And we have your back, and we're going to help you with that baby. You are never going to be alone. God is always going to be with you, and we're here for you too. And we will be here with you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God and His work. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship and adore you. We thank you for the preciousness of your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. And so does Chelsea. Chelsea belongs to you now. And we thank you for that, God. So set the course for us the rest of this day, the rest of this week. And may our light that you've given us, may the light that you put inside us by the power of the Holy Spirit, may it shine so bright that people just by us being in the room with them, Lord, that they would be awakened to your presence. And Lord, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.